Well, good morning.
Hi.
Is that too high? I don't know. Okay.
You feel too high for
3 minutes. I'm sort of an in-between sort of guy. There you go. I feel comfortable enough here. Thank you for the very warm welcome I received this morning. It's the first time I've spoken or attended a Sunday service here. I used to keep bees in Terry Hills. I used to ride my bike up Duffy's Forest, and Angela reminded me how some of you were 6 years ago faithfully praying for me. I sort of came off my bike down Macars Creek Road and closed off the road for a few hours with a helicopter and ambulance. So. Yes, interesting connections with Terry Hills. But here I am, bodies holding together somehow. And it's a privilege to bring God's word to you this morning. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the faithful community that has been here serving you and being a light to this community of Terry Hills and Duffy's Forest and surrounds. Lord, please open our hearts to your word that we might take up the rich challenge of following Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, isn't it good doing church together again? How many weeks have you guys been back?
1, 2, 3.
Okay, you're ahead of the game, I think, as a church. Some are still, not there yet. COVID has certainly shaken things up across our society and church. I feel for Year 12 students particularly, who are having a year without the normal fun that is associated with Year 12. I feel for seniors whose age makes them particularly vulnerable. I feel for healthcare workers who are on the front line. I feel for people who are struggling with poverty and work and things like that. It's really tough. And I think it's a great opportunity for us as Christians and as a church to be a bit of a light there, to bring comfort and hope. And so those prayers earlier were spot on. It seems ages ago, I had the privilege, and I say privilege, some people say really, working at Newmarch House for 5 weeks during the crisis over the May-June period. I was asked to go out there and be part of a team that took people to visit their loved ones in a aged care facility that was being blighted with COVID-19 cases. And we organised about 600 visits over those 6-7 weeks I was there, through windows with both parties having phones and coordinating that, or across fenced areas in the open. While so many aged care facilities were in total lockdown, we safely, I think, pioneered those opportunities. So while we're getting so much bad press every day in Newmarch House, but I was really proud of Anglicare's faithfulness there, and I heard all the good stories from families and residents who felt so supported and so loved during that time. So, it's been a unique year for me. One man, believe it or not, the coffee cart guy, he was a Fiji Indian from a Hindu background, serving us coffee for all of that time. We spent a lot of time with him. And when I went to say goodbye, he gave me this totally inappropriate COVID hug. And he said, look, you guys have changed my life. I've watched you carefully. You really do care for these people. And you treat me with respect. You listen to me. You answer questions about Jesus and about the Christian faith. You've changed my life. That brought tears to my eyes. That was as I was leaving Newmarch on my last day, that this young man had been so severely impacted just by being with the Anglicare team. So somebody I'm keeping in touch with, he's not yet a follower of Jesus, but it was my privilege to be part of a witness to him that gave him a glimpse, I think, of a fuller life. As a prophet and pastor, Isaiah wants his people to be faithful and this sort of witness. And these 14 verses, if you're able to turn to Isaiah 58 or look it up on your phone, these 14 verses point us this way, as they did way back in the 8th century BC. In these verses, there's a rebuke, there's a call to faithfulness, and there's a promise of God drawing near and satisfying those who engage in the work of the kingdom. And you might see, if we go back one slide there, the title I've got is the food, can you see? It says taking the food challenge. Sorry, this is my Apple formatting probably has messed things up. Taking the food challenge. Your Bible might have true fasting as its heading, but I've called it taking the food challenge. It picks up a food theme that goes through this chapter, but it embraces a whole way of living. And so I hope that any unsettledness that you feel due to the changes brought by COVID-19, you might find fresh challenge and encouragement in these verses, that COVID-19 gives us a chance to shine. From the start in Isaiah 58, you hear these fiery words that God has for his prophet to deliver. This rebuke in verse 1, shout it aloud, do not hold back. This is God telling his prophet, raise your voice like a trumpet, declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. Whoa. You want to go any further? What have God's people done? Well, these people are good, evangelical, religious, temple-worshipping Jews of the 8th century BC. They're sort of like us back in the Old Covenant. They identify as a people descended from Abraham, God's chosen, saved from slavery under Moses, cleansed through temple sacrifices. And just earlier in this book of Isaiah, he's spoken of a faithful, suffering servant who would come and ultimately bear the sins of his people. This is their identity as God's people. They seem eager to know God, and their attitude is, we're on track, we're good Jewish people who ask God to be involved in our lives, and it's their expectation that God will look after them. It sounds a bit familiar, maybe. I think it reflects our middle-class evangelical malaise at times. We are Christians saved by Jesus. We have our comforts. We have our God routine. We're all prone to this. Well, at least I know that I am. I go through the motions with church and fellowship. I enjoy the good life where the week is work and family and church and friends. I want this rich relationship with God, but I'm so easily distracted. And maybe you can identify with that as well. From Isaiah 58, their religious rituals haven't resulted in God drawing near to them. And they know it. Whatever closeness they once felt from God, he now seems distant. And so they call out in verse 3, why have we fasted? And you've not seen it, he's telling God. Why have we humbled ourselves and you've not noticed? I do my religious stuff. And God, you do things for me. You answer my prayers. A tit for tat sort of spirituality. Isaiah describes in verse 3 how they fast from food as an act of devotion, yet they don't pay their workers properly. In verse 4, there's feuding, fighting between each other. Their religious practice is being shown to be a bit of a sham. Now, I've got no reason to level this sort of charge against anybody at St. Paul's, but it is good for us to recognise our capacity to be like this. Maybe fasting isn't your ritual. Well, this food challenge isn't just about food. After the rebuke in verses 6 to 8, God calls people to faithfulness, to turn around, to repent, to be a blessing to others, not a token fast for a day, but to lead a life that reflects God's good and right rule. And I love the twofold aspects or stages of bringing justice to the world. In verses 7, it speaks about loosening and breaking, if you've got it before you, to loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke and set the oppressed free and break every yoke. It's so like two stages, strong words. Isaiah began this call way back in chapter 1. His opening words in verse 17, he calls the people, learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed. And the common word translated justice here, as in Micah 6:8, justice refers to the poor, the widows, the orphans and the refugees, the vulnerable people in the society. And so to do justice is to go to places where the fabric of society is breaking down, where weaker members are falling through the gaps, where interdependent community isn't happening. And I take it we're to implement immediate measures to bring comfort to people in our society who suffer in this way. We loosen, we untie by kindness, by a kind word and a meal, by showing mercy. But we don't stop there. Sometimes we have to break the yoke. We have to change the oppressive system which generates inequity. And in that sense, I think Christians, we have a prophetic role in our society. And that's not just lobbying government, but that's rolling up our sleeves in our community and setting the example. If you, like me, I was brought up to follow the mantra, God helps those who help themselves. If you like that, let me encourage you to read this reading from Isaiah or the Matthew 25 reading today, where Jesus says, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Or the lovely summary Jesus gives of the commandments of love God and love your neighbour. I believe firmly that helping the vulnerable in our society is inseparable from gospel ministry. Now, when you look at the reading from Matthew 25, I've had quoted to me by people from church and ministers alike, that is just talking about helping other Christians. Because they say it speaks about the brothers and sisters. Now, maybe that's primary reference. It's a good place to start. There's a world to reach. To be generous to one group and not to the other, it's sort of like, I don't think that's in Jesus' mind at all. When Jesus summarised the commandments, love God, love your neighbour, a small-minded Pharisee wanted Jesus to define who the neighbour was. You remember that? And Jesus shatters the man's prejudice by telling the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he finishes by saying, which of these three, remember there's the Jew, the Levite priest, and then there's this despised Samaritan who was not kosher. Anyway, which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell in the hands of robbers? The despised Samaritan was the neighbour. If we get Jesus' teaching, then love and generosity becomes a new way of living. Last year, I had one of our ministers tell me that Anglicare's work was a distraction from the true work of the gospel. Because people in Australia think that being a Christian is all about being good. And by seeing us helping the poor, people are confirmed in their misunderstanding of the gospel. Do you follow that line of logic? This was a senior clergyman saying this to me. I challenged him by asking what his church was known for. Is it that they are known, they shine in their community by their good deeds such that people see their good deeds and glorify their Father in heaven? I quoted scripture to him, Jesus' words to him. And he had no comeback. It was a difficult moment. Most ministers are very positive about Anglican, let me tell you. But sometimes I have to defend it. By knowing that we are loved by God, knowing that we're forgiven by Jesus, knowing we're secure in a place in heaven and the promises of God, I believe that we should understand and live as people set free to be the most loving, the most generous, the most forgiving, the most innovative, the most creative, the most risk-taking people. We've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. So I've always thought about the Christian life being a bit of an adventure that we either sign off on or we sort of sit in the waiting room and don't catch the plane, you know. So I want to encourage you to think like that. Each of us has a capacity and purpose to change the world for the better. I have a few heroes, but William Wilberforce stands out as a Christian man who worked for decades to improve the lot of slaves and eventually to change the law of England to abolish slavery. That was his challenge, and he worked tirelessly for it. Today, I think of the recent death of Catherine Hamlin, an Aussie doctor who, with her husband, served in Ethiopia. You can see there she's with Oprah. Not that I'm a great fan of Oprah, but isn't it interesting when Christians do unambiguously good things, even the world notices? And there she is with Oprah. For 61 years, she served the poor in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, as an obstetrician and gynecologist, and she died there on the 18th of March this year at the age of 96, still living in Ethiopia. She established 6 hospitals which performed reconstructive surgery on over 60,000 women and trained up other doctors, pioneering surgery. Jesus was always front and centre of her work, on her lips, on her actions. And she saw it through her work to both loosen the chains and break the yoke of shame that entrapped these women and set them free to rebuild their lives. Isaiah would have been proud of Catherine Hamlin. She was a gutsy, visionary servant of Jesus who took the challenge seriously. Now Wilberforce and Catherine Hamlin, giants in my view of faithfulness. Such a massive work or challenge might seem a bit daunting, a little bit beyond you or I. But I want to encourage you that every day God presents us with opportunities to spend our lives helping people in the name of Jesus. People in our church, people in our community, family members. All sorts of opportunities to be generous and gracious and faithful. And we also do that through our church in supporting people and in missionaries, whether they be Bible teaching solely or social sort of discipleship roles. To be generous and faithful, and that is good. Verse 7 speaks of daily opportunities to be faithful. Isaiah says, "Is it not to share your food with the hungry and provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood." So the food challenge is here. If you fast, give that food to the hungry. But it extends to shelter and clothing. It's sort of like a preliminary of the Matthew 25 from Jesus' lips, isn't it? The sheep and the goats. It reminds me of Jesus' call for us to be like him. He was the faithful suffering servant Isaiah had referred to in chapter 53. Like him, we're to show the love of God to an ignorant, anxious and fearful world. A friend of mine died this year. She spent her life in a verse 7 kind of way. I knew Janice Tricker over years through church in Manly, and she was farewelled at a service on the 6th of February. 82 years old, and for decades she had loved and served the less well-heeled of Manly. Everyone knew that Janice loved with the love that came from Jesus. She was a good news gospel lady. And the church was filled to capacity because she'd been involved in all these, the Savers Rugby League Club, the hospital chaplaincy visiting, surf club, soup kitchen. There were people from, two ex-mayors of Manly were there as well to pay their respects. In these cynical times, Janice Stricker was mourned and her faith in Jesus was known and respected. What a hero. Yeah, sadly missed. I wonder if the reason we hold back on spending our life, and I mean, to various degrees, I'm, you know, just wanting to encourage you, spending our life in this way, what holds us back from taking this challenge seriously? Seeing the second half of Isaiah 58, I think it is helpful. As we trust in Jesus, as we roll up our sleeves to help the needy, then and only then will we truly know God. That sounds pretty challenging, sort of unusual, doesn't it? But I think that's what these verses are saying. There's this promise in verses 8 to 14. It's effectively saying, as you loose, as you untie, as you set free, as you clothe, as you comfort, you can see those verses there. And from verse 9, then you will call. The Lord will answer you. You will cry out for help and he will say, here am I. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, verse 10, if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. There's all these if then, if then, if then. Quite unusual, quite direct. This is a call, it's a challenge for us to know God through active, obedient service. The blessings of those who walk this path and for their community. Now, as a senior minister in a church for 10 years, particularly in Belrose, you know, I wanted, you know, we're always encouraging you to be on a roster, yeah? And you say, oh, all right, it wears you down a bit. But if you look at it through a different lens, this is an opportunity to serve, and as I serve, I grow. As I serve, I'm stretched. Hey, I'm not very good at that. Well, I get better as I get involved and as I learn, as I work with, watch people and learn from them. Serving is how we grow. And so I encourage you to serve. And those who are serving and feeling a bit tired, think through it again and hopefully find encouragement. Isaiah continues in verse 12, your people will rebuild the ancient walls and will raise up the age-old foundations. You'll be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. A bit unusual here. I think it's primarily referring to the return from exile of God's people. But what a legacy for any generation. How will our community, how will our family see us? Are we seen as restorers? Are we seen as people who bring blessing? Are we menders of brokenness? Are we companions to the lonely? Are we the ones who bring kindness when hope is lost? I want that to be my legacy. When Isaiah speaks, then Isaiah speaks of lives honouring God, of learning to enjoy the ways of God, the Sabbath, their behaviour, their speech, learning to trust in God's good purposes. I'm summarising here. The promise here is of joy found in a life well lived and of the ultimate feast at the end of the age. I think sometimes we're pie in the sky when you die type of Christians, you know, we're struggle on, that's good at the end. There's a joy in the Lord to be experienced in the here and now as we serve the Lord. But there's a wonderful feast at the end of the age. I only after I preached on this a couple of times, I realised that there was this amazing food theme transitioning through these verses. There's the pretentious fasting of verse 3, the first part. There's true fasting as they help the poor. As they honour God and hold to his promise, there's feasting in verse 14. Can you see the flow? It's a figurative food image, but that's why I said take the food challenge. Now, joy isn't something you can conjure. To find joy in the Lord in these verses is about trusting and obeying God. And I loved, I think it was in one of the prayers. It reminded me that, you know, we may start down this path with a sense of duty, but with a humble and willing heart, duty grows into loving mercy and walking humbly with God. The wisest, most Jesus-like people I've known have taken this path, and I'm on this journey myself. I'm learning this way. And Bible verses such as these today have led me to teach high school in Indigenous communities. It's led me to set up a charity. We settled 10 Syrian refugee families on the northern beaches, and now I'm working with Anglicare. So I don't know what this food challenge, this life challenge might look like in your life, but the promise here in verse 11 is that as we commit to doing justice and being generous to the poor, I've left this to the end. Verse 11, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Any gardeners here? Appreciate that. Wouldn't it be lovely to be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail? It's not prosperity as the world knows, but a life well-lived certainly brings a smile to the Lord's face. Now, our society has changed quite a bit during this pandemic, but there is that opportunity for us to shine, to be the caring people who bring hope where it has been lost. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I think a life well lived serving Jesus brings people a glimpse of that wonderful future, bringing it into the present. Anglicare is keen to partner with churches to take up this challenge and enable this glimpse through the kindness of his people, bringing comfort in the name of Jesus. And I'm really sort of encouraged how Jesus-focused Anglicare is. We don't know, all our employees aren't Christians, but the Christian focus is right there front and centre. There's not that much happening in the North. My responsibility is 63 churches in the northern region, and sometimes I'm a bit embarrassed that our offerings are much richer in the south and the west, and that's where the greatest needs around poverty are. But one of the great ministries that Anglicare supports is ESL, our classes up and down the beaches and North Shore. I know some of you are probably involved with St Ives. I've been really encouraged how many food collections there have been by churches in the north. I often pick up a load in my ute and take them out to the warehouse. Sometimes vans come. You can see, I think there's a slide there with photos there at West Bimble, and so then the next one at Narrumburn, they did a collection and packed. A meal and a kind word to a hungry person is good news. And in serving, providing people to people with such needs is a wonderful ministry that we have. We have Anglicare shops in Hornsby and DY. There's volunteer opportunities, particularly up in Hornsby. There's brochures at the back covering a whole range of services, but you can see just a few of them. You can see how extensive it is. Often we're just known by people for retirement living and Anglicare at home, helping people stay in their homes, but you can see there's a massive range. Even foster care and adoption, I didn't realise Anglicare did that. until I started working for them. But one thing I just wanted to promote this morning through a video is Toys and Tucker program, which is sort of rolling out at the moment. Invite your church to be part of that. So let's have a look at this video.
Everyone in our community loves Christmas. There's nothing that brings greater joy than to see people receiving and to give, knowing that you're bringing joy to others.
I think one of the difficulties is often you look out there at the need and you think, wow, there is so much need and how do I even begin to help? But with Toys and Tucker, it's great. There's not a huge requirement. It's not difficult to add a few extra things to your trolley, and the impact that it has on people is massive.
Every year, Anglicare Sydney provides a way through Toys and Tucker for churches, schools, businesses and community groups to come together to share the joy of Christmas with people in need.
What I've seen in high school students this year is that as they get older, they become more aware of certain issues that really capture their attention. They want to get involved.
It's fun for us to be able to go and pick something that we'd love to receive and give that to somebody else. Yeah. And it's so easy to do, it really is, when everyone chips in.
It gives really us fun. Joy to, you know, to be giving.
Non-perishable food and toy donations are picked up and then sorted and packed into hampers by an army of volunteers and then distributed to families in need. Adding a few extra things to your trolley might feel like a small gesture, but it makes a big difference to families who would otherwise go without.
For me, we just have the best news in the world to share. God came to be with us at Christmas. He calls us to be generous with what we have.
At Christmas time, Toys and Tucker has been an amazing way of saying there are people out there who have a need and we can give. And that act of being generous, the act of giving, has been so beautiful to watch over the years. It's a great joy to give to others and to watch people in need receive.
It was my privilege, Church by the Bridge, Neutral Bay, they did an actual hamper packing. So the youth group, as a pilot scheme we ran last year, packed, I think, 75 hampers. And Abbotsley, those girls in the black and white, Take Love, TKLV, they packed and they visited some of my refugee families, this one with the little kids, and came out to Campbelltown to distribute as well. So hamper packing is another thing. But most churches are doing amazing jobs doing the collections, and that's what you guys might be involved in. So thank you for having me this morning. God bless you all.